So we're just doing our part here in Colorado to spread the message and help create the paradigm shift in this industry that hunters aren't fat, slob, out of shape, quad riding rifle shooters that just are looking for big antlers and nothing else.
It makes working out a lot more fun when you get to do a workout and know that you get to pick up your bow and shoot. You know, you could be working out and you're like, I don't feel like doing this run, or I don't feel like picking this up. Why am I doing this? But then when you know that, you finish this, you get to come inside and take a few shots and then go back at it. It totally changes the workout.
For half an hour, your body is essentially like in a shock state. You now need to be able to shut everything down and make an extremely stable, well-placed, accurate shot.
Not everyone has a gym handy where they live or have all that equipment or want to pay a gym membership, but this is a great way where you don't have to have 1,000 pounds Olympic weights or all these barbells and dumbbells, and you get a great workout pretty quickly.
One of the legs that Ryan was doing, one of the workouts he was doing, he was running past me, and he was screaming at the top of his lungs, "Thank God for those Fit for the Hunt workouts!" And I was like, that's awesome, man. This is Brian Horton with Fit for the Hunt, and you are listening to Living Country in the City with your host and everybody's favorite, Mr. Samuel David Ayers.
Y'all ready for your dose of flyover state spirit? Straight from the concrete jungle? Well, put down your latte and pull on your boots. It's time for Living Country in the City.
Hey, y'all, welcome to episode 73 of Living Country in the City.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized, and with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com, that's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
While I was on my road trip during my time in Colorado, I got to spend a bunch of time with Mr. Brian Horton of Fit for the Hunt. We all went out shooting, and as y'all know by now, I had a lot of fun trying to shoot a bow without an arrow in it. Well, after that 3D course debacle, we decided to head on over to a local brewery, grab a couple beers, have some food, and sit down and talk with his team a little bit about fitness for hunting and what Fit for the Hunt is. So, hope you all enjoy this one.
Well, we are here about to record another episode of Living Country in the City. We are at, what is the name of this brewery?
New Terrain Brewery.
New Terrain Brewery here.
Golden, Colorado.
In Golden, Colorado. Hey, this is where my family, I have some family that grew up here. So.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You going to visit them?
Oh, no, they all live in California now. But they're from Golden, Colorado. My dad spent a lot of time here. So.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Didn't you say your grandfather went to college?
Yeah, he went to Colorado School of Mines. He is a Colorado School of Mines graduate. Way back in the day, and I have a Colorado School of Mines lamp sitting next to my bedside table that was once his. I also have a diploma that says Colorado School of Mines, but
because you guys share the same name.
Yeah, so far I haven't found a use for it, but I'm sure if I ever need to be a petroleum geologist, I can get away with it. Anyway, we are here in Golden, Colorado. Another episode of Living Country in the City. I am. Brian is over here sitting gesturing things, and I think he's going to draw dirty pictures on a piece of paper right now.
A I was going to measure something.
But I'm here.
Measure something.
I'm here with Corey, Brian, and Rob from Fit for the Hunt. We are...
he has to measure something because he lost at the 3D shoot today.
So we went... We had an interesting... I'm going to make you all introduce yourselves. I know your names, but... We had an interesting morning of shooting this morning.
you can call it that.
I managed to. I'm just going to admit it now because it's probably going to come up somewhere or another. But I managed
you're
to.
You're going to steal our thunder, is what you're going to do.
Exactly. Draw back on my bow without an arrow. Realize it, and then as I was letting down, hit my release and dry fire my bow. So I get to go into No Limits Archery tomorrow, and. Hopefully they've got some new limbs and some new strings for me. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, it was interesting to watch that happen. I was kind of in slow motion. You were drawing back, and I thought it was for a photo op, and then all of a sudden
I'm don't have an arrow.
You don't have an arrow.
Oh, I don't have an arrow.
Oh, well, let me release this anyway so I can put one on.
I did not intentionally release. Anyway.
At least you shot four targets prior to that.
No, I
shot three targets. One of them was without an arrow.
Let's rephrase that. I shot at three targets. I shot one target. Yeah, so it was a...
You know, one out of three when you're in the major leagues batting, that's a pretty good average, right?
Oh, there we go. I'll take that.
Get some good footage of that.
Yeah. There's a photo of me drawing back with no arrow, and then there's a photo of me looking down at my bow going, what the hell just happened? So, yeah. So there's that. You all can judge me and send me hate mail later, I'm sure. But why don't you guys really quick just go around the table, kind of introduce yourselves. Just give me the quick kind of elevator pitch, how you got your start in hunting in the outdoors.
Yeah, I'm Corey Arola. Right now I work at Kafaru International, and I do a lot of the social media stuff for Fit for the Hunt. I grew up in Colorado and grew up backpacking and camping and hunting, so doing this my whole life. Just introduced to it through my family, and as we progressed through small game, and my dad primarily liked turkey hunting, so that's what I did until I was 18, when I was finally able to hunt by myself, and I was like, I want to go do this, I'm going to figure it out, and started going after bigger animals.
Well, you still hunt with your dad now.
Yeah,
and he puts the animals down, man.
Every fall we do a deer hunt together in Colorado's third rifle season, and for 7 years straight, we've done two deer.
Nice.
That's great, man.
Yeah.
And you got your suicidal elk last year.
Yeah. You got to always hope for the dumb ones that just want to commit suicide and fill your freezer.
Was
for
it
you.
Licking the barrel of your gun? Or
pretty much.
If you waited.
Well, my name is Brian Horton, and I'm one of the co-founders of Fit for the Hunt, and I'm also the operations director. Usually the guy you'll see at all the trade shows shaking hands and talking about fitness and hunting and how they're related. I got into the hunting world, back when I was 5 years old. My real father took me rabbit hunting on our farm, and he let me carry a pellet gun with me, a pistol, and somehow I managed to lose it when I was five. But we backtracked and we found it, but I was hooked at that point, and... he since has passed on, but my stepfather, when my mother remarried, was a big game hunter in Pennsylvania, and so he took me turkey hunting. I went dove hunting with him a lot. We did a lot of whitetail deer hunting and bear hunting, and I've learned a lot from him for that type of hunting on the eastern part of the country. None of that translates at all here to the western hunting in the Colorado Rocky Mountains. And Rob and I found that out the hard way many years ago when we first started elk hunting together. It was a pretty insane situation, but that's how I was introduced to hunting, and I've been hooked ever since. And Rob and Orion Tolchin and myself founded Fit for the Hunt. We're just over 2 years old now, and we all hunt together, and it was a natural progression for us to move towards that goal.
Nice.
My name is Rob Brezen. I'm one of the co-founders of Fit for the Hunt. Hunting started in my family, I guess, with my grandfather, who is 99 now. And I remember he had a longbow he used and made their own arrows. And that translated to my dad hunting, and then eventually me hunting with my dad and my grandfather. And I remember the first time I ever hunting experience was my dad took me hunting, but we really weren't supposed to be hunting because I was too young. So he just wanted me to see what it felt like. And then I found later on that the reason why he made us move was because a deer was coming and he thought I was going to shoot it. And he went to a place where he thought we'd see no animals. And
so that's funny.
So we had to go move. And he told me he thought he saw something over there. So that's why we went over there. But now I know the real reason why.
Yeah.
But hunting's been in my family forever, and it's something that I got to share with my dad and my grandfather, great experiences, and I'm looking forward to doing it with my son one day and teach him, you know, all the fundamentals that I learned. And I would say it's in my DNA, in my blood, and I don't think there's anything greater. And like Brian was saying, yeah, when I came out here, it's way different than tree stand hunting, and I remember hiking and dealing with the cold mornings and then it getting to like in the 80s and then getting cold again. And I wasn't sure where I was going, and I kept coming across hikers and I was like, what's going on here?
and back east, it's tree stand hunting a lot of times.
Yeah.
Roadside camping, four-wheeler trail riding. And here it's a different scenario, man. It's spot and stalk, it's glass, it's find them and then go after them. And that's the major difference. But how about you, Sam?
Well, everybody that's done any listening knows my history, knows that I have still yet to take an animal, and I don't know, after today's debacle, I might not have a bow to shoot one with. So.
You know, not everyone was designed.
Will hook you up.
Not everyone was designed to be a hunter. Some of us had to gather firewood.
Okay, wait. So I have
some
to,
of us have to cook.
I have to tell a quick story. So I'm coming in from Salt Lake. And you know Brian's having a party and and I'm cruising in and he's like, hey, you know, I've got all this food laid out.
You're gonna go down this road, aren't you?
He's like, oh, I've got elk steaks and you know moose sausage and this and that and the other and I just text him. I'm like, I don't eat any meat or animal products. And he's like. The best part was he was, like, trying to be, like, super cool about it because he thought it was serious. And he was like, oh, man, you know, okay, well, I've got some strawberries and salad stuff and this and that and all the fixings to make, like, a really good salad. And I'm like, or he's like, I've got all this pasta, too. I'm like, well, I am from California. Is the pasta is the pasta gluten-free and the veggies organic? And he's like, yeah, pretty sure. Like,
I'm going to say yes regardless of what the label says.
And then I started thinking that I needed to go into the refrigerator and take them out of all of their little bags and put them in Tupperware containers so if they weren't organic, you wouldn't know the fact that they were. Because I wasn't going to the damn store late at night on a Sunday.
I was dying, and I'm like, he has to know I'm, like, messing with him, right? Like,
no idea, man. I had no idea.
And so you're like, so you respond back, and you're like, man, this must be, like, a really tough industry to be in if you don't eat meat. And I just send, like, the laughing, like, crying laughing emojis. And I'm like, okay, he has to know. And so I get to the house, whatever, and we're all talking. And I'd had lunch with Cody Rich breakfast with Cody Rich the morning before, and I'd kind of done the same thing with him, and it was the joke. And I'd mentioned that, and you're like, you stop, and you're like, wait a second. You're not a vegan? And I'm like, no, dude, I was screwing with you.
I spent a half an hour before you got there. Putting all the meat away. I even went in and got our oil mister and put it on the counter so that it got the meat
smell
out of
like
the
meat
freaking refrigerator or out of the kitchen because I thought maybe you might get an upset stomach or something when you walked in the front door because of the fact I just grilled moose burgers and moose and made elk stew and all this other stuff.
Well, if you don't eat meat and you came to my house, you'd see my walls and you'd be like, oh, boy.
Well, no, that's what else I said. I forgot. That's what else I said is I sent him a text. I'm like, I'm also going to be very vocally discussing my disgust for any meat eaters in the room.
Which is what prompted me to get the cooked meat smell out of my kitchen.
I'm like, okay, he has to know I'm screwing with him at this point.
See what happens when you let a guy break bread in your house and share a spare bedroom for
all
him?
All I can think about is, like, this is everyone's view of people from California.
you are nailing it.
There's a reason I make the joke.
You played it up very well.
I grew up in Colorado. I'm from here. Yeah. And if there is a car in a ditch, It either has California or Texas license plates. Guaranteed.
I'm pretty sure you went in a ditch last year.
Yeah, I did roll my truck over, and we flipped it back over, and it started right up, and I drove it home.
That's but that ditch
pretty,
was
pretty badass.
Backcountry on a dirt road.
On
it wasn't
road.
On a highway.
On an ice road.
On an on-ramp.
Coming back from a fourth season elk hunt.
I will admit, at least in Utah, I haven't driven enough in Colorado yet. People out here do not know how to accelerate on an on-ramp to get on a damn freeway.
It's been the last 4 years, ever since we had everyone moving here.
From California and Texas? Yeah.
Well, no, California people. I don't know about Texas people. California people, we know how to get on a dang on-ramp on the freeway. The point of the on-ramp is to accelerate.
Yeah, it's to match your speed up with the traffic that's already on the road.
My problem is my Jeep doesn't accelerate fast enough.
We'll give you that. Okay, try it. I've got a 97 Wrangler with a 4-inch lift, 35s, and a roof rack on it. That thing is a freaking kite. Try accelerating that onto a freeway.
Yeah, that's
I
right.
still manage.
You need to feed the gerbils more, man.
Yeah, exactly. But all of this scintillating hunting talk is exactly why people are tuning into the podcast.
We're actually here to talk about veganism.
Have you heard about our Lord and Savior vegan?
Oh God!
Honestly, it's a religion for some people in California, and on a lot of my listenership comes from Los Angeles, California, and they've all been through this struggle. Like it's just my, you know, I'm lucky enough that there's a few people in my office that are interested in that kind of stuff, so I can kind of talk with them, and it's not totally taboo, but like you can see the level of butthurt rising and rising and rising.
I heard on TV Ryan Reynolds, the actor, claimed that he thought he might be able to rob a bank if he had a bag of gluten.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, for sure. Just walk in holding a bagel.
People
what do you
diving
want?
To
what
the
do you
side.
Want?
People
take
diving
anything,
away.
Take it out.
Oh, anyway. Well, wanted to have you guys hop on, talk a little bit about fitness for hunting and kind of the idea behind Fit for the Hunt. So really, what is just the absolute top-level basics? What is Fit for the Hunt?
Well, it's a religion. It's
you
actually
have to be vegan to join it.
it started off, and it still is, an ethical pursuit of big game animals in the backcountry of the Rocky Mountains. And what I mean by ethical is being prepared mentally and physically to chase a big game animal for miles at some point in time, sometimes, to be able to physically do that and mentally keep your focus when you finally catch up with the animal and you have a chance to take a shot. The worst thing that you can do is buy all this hunting gear, buy all of these hunting pieces of equipment, spend all these thousands of dollars to pursue an animal, and not be physically and mentally ready to do that when you get there. Because what are you going to do? You're going to wound the animal instead of being prepared to make an ethically clean harvest of that animal. Mm-hmm. So when you're 10,000 feet elevation and you chase an elk and you see it 600 yards away and you got to get closer to it, when you get to it, you want to be able to focus, whether you can breathe or not, on making that ethical shot. And or even have the wherewithal to make the right decision on whether you should take the shot. And that's the other part of it. And then after that, it's packing it out and making sure that you have the stamina and the strength to do that as well.
People immediately go to, when they think like, okay, I need to prepare for this hunt physically, they think about the hike in and they think about the pack out. They don't always also consider like, okay, yeah, I'm going to be hiking all day long and I'm going to sometimes have to chase down an animal and I'm going to have to get ahead of it or get downwind of it and I'm going to have to be sprinting or this or that or the other, and I'm going to have to take my shot when my heart rate's up, when I may not be as typically focused as I am, and then I have to. There's a lot more physical aspects. It's not just the hike, initial hike in. There's not just the final pack out.
Well, that's a thing that's overlooked with people that grew up in this lifestyle, is that we're exposed to it where it's second nature to us, and we forget that someone entering it later in life isn't going to have all that, what we consider innate knowledge. Like, yeah, I'm going to have to go here. I'm going to expend this energy. And because it's new to them, like anything that's new for anyone, you have that level of excitement that kind of shuts your brain down.
Mm-hmm.
So what we've done, Sam, is we've created a program that puts athletes, hunter athletes, let's call them, into situations where they're under duress, high adrenaline situations, out of breath, physically demanding and draining situations, mentally draining situations. Mm-hmm. And at that moment in time, we train them through repetition to be able to ethically execute a good shot.
Yeah.
And know your limits. So our workouts incorporate shooting almost every single workout. We have a mix of backpack cardio workouts with heavy backpack programs involved. We have a combination of high cardio, high strength type workouts with shooting involved. We have just shooting workouts. It's a mixture of things across the board to get you prepared for all facets of the pursuit of the game, the wild game in the Rocky Mountains. And then we have specific workouts if you want to go goat hunting or if you want to go whitetail deer hunting, things of that nature. There were a lot of folks before us that have pioneered and started to pave this way. I mean, you have like folks like Phil Mendoza and Kenton Claremont who really started this message 6-7 years ago. There's a lot of people out there now, Hammer and Chisel for the Hunt, Scott Carr, those guys up in Oregon and some folks up in Montana and Wyoming. And so we're just doing our part here in Colorado to spread the message and help create the paradigm shift in this industry that hunters aren't fat, slob, out of shape, quad riding rifle shooters that just are looking for big antlers and nothing else. For us, it's all about the experience. It's all about the ethics of the pursuit. I mean, you're pursuing the most organically fed animal that you could ever ingest in your entire life that's never been tamed or tainted or touched by any man in any way. And it is kind of a religious experience from that perspective, you know. So that's how we view it. And then Rob, I mean, he's probably forgotten more about a lot of products out there that are available for hunting use than any of us will ever know. But he's kind of a product savant at this point in time.
So does the Fit for the Hunt program, I'm assuming it also expands past just like, okay, these are these exercises you do. Does it expand into diet and lifestyle and all of that beyond just like, here's this training program that
It absolutely does. We have several avenues for which we present the product. One of them is just through online subscriptions. We have a free online subscription if you want to join. It's www.fitforthehunt.com. That's the number 4. And then just go to membership and choose the free membership option. And it's free for your life and for the life of the company. We do charge money for additional workout programs and for specific custom programs if you are looking for something like that. Also for nutrition advice and articles and diet plans specific to getting you in the right kind of shape for the hunt you are trying to conquer. Aside from that, then we also have a community of folks where we hold group workouts, cross-fittish type community, I guess, where we all share the same goal. We all do the same workout. We're all shooting at the same time during the workout. It's pretty friendly competition.
Makes working out a lot more fun when you get to do a workout and know that you get to pick up your bow and shoot. It's totally changes the workout. You know, you could be working out and you'd be like, I don't feel like doing this run, or I don't feel like picking this up. Why am I doing this? But then when you know that, you finish this, you get to come inside and take a few shots and then go back at it. It totally changes the workout.
And, you know, then another venue is we participate in some competitions and or events. We will be at the And this is the first we're going to announce this, so we'll be at the Total Archery Challenge in Snowbird, Utah. We'll also be at the Total Archery Challenge in Terry Peak, South Dakota. And what we will be doing there is giving the shooters an opportunity to do a quick, high-intense, get your blood going, your heart rate up, breathing heavy kind of workout. And then we'll make them pick up their bow and we'll make them shoot a target at 30 or 40 yards. And if they hit a target, if they hit a 10 ring or a 12 ring at that distance after we put them through the brief workout, then they will they'll win a prize. These prizes are worth between $100 and $200 each. It's a $5 to try the workout and see if you can see where you are and test your physical capabilities at that point in time and maybe realize something about yourself that, oh, okay, maybe I need to work on this a little more and get in a little better shape for the hunting season.
It's a real eye-opening thing, even for people that are, we'll call them athletes, just to keep a common term, but for people that are already athletes, the first time they try to shoot with an elevated heart rate.
Shooting with an elevated heart rate or in a competition is the equalizer, period. We had the first Fit for the Hunt throwdown competition as part of Phil Mendoza's Alpha Bow Hunting Challenge. 3 weeks ago.
Where you shoot? The one where you shoot.
The one where you shoot. And our throwdown consisted of 3 minutes of five step-ups, five sandbag burpees, and five sandbag to shoulder, and then you shoot after every 15 of those reps. As many as you can for 3 minutes. And if you hit a target when you were shooting, you added another 8 reps to your score. There was only maybe 10 people out of 30 that hit it, one target. And wow. They shot. Maybe. We probably had 100 shots and maybe 10 maybe, broken yeah. clays.
So, like, to equate this to the real world, this is you see an elk, you hear the elk.
Your adrenaline's going naturally anyway, right?
Your adrenaline's going because you're excited about this. But you make the 500-yard rush stalk to get over. You enter the bubble of their awareness. You're now creeping through the woods. You're still wearing your pack, of course. You get to this point, and you're over a rise, or they're in a depression, and you need to cover 20, 30 yards. You cover that distance. You make a few calls. They're in range. You are just super excited,
you're full of adrenaline for half an hour. Yes.
Yeah, for half an hour. Your body is essentially like in a shock state. You now need to be able to shut everything down and make an extremely stable, well-placed, accurate shot. And not everyone is capable of doing that. And this shows you that that's something that's lacking for you. And this programming allows you to practice being in that state. So when you do encounter it in the wild with a real animal that you're trying to harvest, that you're trying to take home, that it's not your first time experiencing this.
And so the group workout aspect of our programs are actually spreading. We just opened up an affiliate in Northwest Montana in Columbia Falls, outside of Kalispell. Hell Roaring CrossFit saw the need for the hunting community in their area to get into better shape, and so they decided to become a Fifth Zone affiliate. We're real close to having another affiliate sign up in Colorado Springs, another one in Gunnison, Colorado, another one in Fort Collins, Colorado, Grand Junction. So we're creating a message across the state to help this paradigm shift in this fitness hunting industry. So that, I mean, folks, your listeners can be on the lookout for that and or follow us on Facebook or Instagram to be privy to those announcements when they come out. But we try to emulate backcountry hunting as much as we can in our workouts. So some of them might be in a gym on a flat surface at 20 yards, but we have a program coming out the middle of July through the end of August before the first weekend of the season. Mm-hmm. And that program is going to be at venues around the metro area of Denver, one at Golden High Country where we just were, another one at the American Bowman Club in Bailey, Colorado, another one at No Limits Archery in North Denver, and another one down in Highlands Ranch, the new Highlands Ranch 3D club that they're opening in middle of June this year.
Okay.
And what we're doing is putting athletes at a target. It might be a 45-yard uphill sharp shot from behind a tree, and that emulates, you know, a lot of what you're going to have in the woods and getting their heart rate up there and forcing them to execute the shot in that particular scenario. So we're trying to make it as real-world possible as we can. We use a lot of odd object items, like sandbags, for example, where the sand in the bag shifts around a lot. It's not, you know, going to be an even 25 pounds on both sides of a bar that you're using to lift. And, you know, an elk hind quarter does not have handles on it, right? So, I mean,
I wouldn't know.
Well, it doesn't. I can assure you that. So quartering out an elk and putting it in your backpack, you got to lift the 70, 80 pounds into the pack, and you got to put it on your back, and you got to get it. I mean, so we're trying to, as much as we can, to emulate what's happening in the backcountry. And Rob has done a real good job of helping putting together some of the strength programs for that as well. Rob's a little quiet. He did the Murph today, the Memorial Day Murph.
It is Memorial Day, yeah.
It is Memorial Day.
So what? Tell me about the Murph, Rob. What exactly did you put yourself through this morning?
So it's a Memorial Day workout in honor of a fallen soldier that most CrossFit gyms do on Memorial Day, and it consists of a mile run, 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, and 300 squats, and another mile run. And to do it RX, you got to do with a weight vest, and I did it with a weight vest. I had about a 25-pound weight vest on.
For your listeners who don't know what that means, RX means as prescribed.
As prescribed.
Like an RX pharmacy, right?
Yeah.
And it's not an easy thing to do, especially, you know, doing it with the weight vest. Trying to do pull-ups with that weight and push-ups and run, it makes it very difficult.
I don't know if your audience is R-rated or not, but it's a mother... I can tell you right now.
That's okay. I got an editor that kindly bleeps that stuff out for
okay.
me.
Especially when you get to that second run. Your legs don't feel like they're going to work. And you're like running slow motion where you're like, maybe I should be walking.
25 pounds is a lot of weight after you do that many reps.
I mean, talk to Aaron Snyder and Frank Peralta. I mean, they heavy backpack hike all the time, and 25 pounds
changes
makes
things, yeah.
a damn bit of difference, especially like if doing it's pull-ups. an uphill hike.
Yeah.
I mean, so you do yourself a favor by wearing a weight vest, doing anything you can when you're out training for hunting and or whatever type of training.
I think if someone's going to take something from that, it's everyone's trying to buy the ultralight, like highest quality gear they can to cut weight on the backpack. If you can shave 10 pounds off your body by eating a little bit cleaner, like that makes a huge difference in what you're able to do in the
great or if you can't afford it, just do more running and then you can have a heavier backpack.
If you're like me, it doesn't matter how much running you do, you just don't get any better at it.
Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
All right, we are back. We have refreshed the pints.
The libations.
It is hydration and electrolytes.
There you go.
It's, carbohydrates.
You know, this higher elevation for me, I need to make sure I'm staying thoroughly hydrated.
Definitely.
That is really
he also gets to drink way less beer than us and feel the effects.
Exactly.
Very good point.
That was definitely happening in Utah for sure. I like to blame it on the elevation, but also I think I'm just a lightweight now.
I wasn't going to say anything, but, you know.
I'm fine with it, man. I'm a cheap date. I don't have to.
Yeah, the beers here at New Terrain, they're inexpensive. They're good.
They're great beers here.
Shameless plug for the place we're at, I guess.
Living Highly Country in the City, Spitty.
There you go. He's only had one beer, folks, there I promise.
Living Country in the City, sponsored by New Terrain Brewing.
Should we make sure we hit record?
I don't know.
Or mute. That might be better.
I've been a part of a podcast and definitely forgot to hit record at the beginning.
Oh.
Well, you get a few minutes in and you're like, I'm not recording this.
So do you just kind of like slide your finger over here, record, and then kind of repeat
like,
the conversation again.
And it's never as good as the first time.
No.
Oh, never. But yeah, so how did Fit for Hunt start? Like, how did that initially come about?
Do you want me to take that one?
I'll start and then let you jump in.
Sure, sounds good, man. Especially if you get it wrong.
And it is Fit for the Hunt. Just to clarify.
It is Fit for the Hunt, yes.
So when you're searching for that,
Fit for Hunt.
I think I just was speaking fast.
Some people just call it Fit to Hunt, Fit for Hunt.
There's so many hashtags out there right now on social media.
Yeah.
So we just wanted to be clear. It's Fit for the Hunt.
It is Fit for the Hunt.
The number four. The Hunt.
We need to register Fit for the Hunt, F-O-R.
Yes.
We need to register all of them.
All
Edit that out,
regardless.
Tony.
Rob, how did Fit for the Hunt start?
Well, it all started when one of our co-founders, Orion, we were scouting, and he brought it up to us around the campfire, and he's talking about his idea. And I thought it was a great idea because I've been telling him, hey, we should shoot in the gym, being a little selfish because it was wintertime and I wanted to shoot, and we had a gym, and I thought it'd be great to do that. And I also, you know, when he was talking about the idea of combining fitness and hunting, I thought it was great because I came from New York, and I thought I was very fit, and then I learned quickly I was not. Trying to hike up an altitude coming from the beach and is very different. And I welcomed the idea. I'm like, that's great. I'm all for that. And Brian, you want to add to that?
Yeah. We have an archery range. Orion and I live near each other. And Orion, we call him the true founder because he's the idea guy behind it. We were at an archery range, and we started doing shuttle runs with sandbags on our shoulders between rounds, between shoots, between every five arrow session. And there were a bunch of guys there watching us just wondering what the hell we were doing. And we were, you know, just simply telling them, well, we're just trying to emulate, you know, high adrenaline, high heart rate shot. And the light bulbs in their eyeballs and behind their in their heads just went off. I mean, consistently, and so we knew that we had hit on something. You know, we didn't know what yet, whether it was a niche idea. We didn't know anything. We didn't know about Train to Hunt. We didn't know about Cam Haines or Mountain Lost. None of that.
The beauty of this is that they were not big into social media following that explosion of when, like, the Hunter athlete came around. So this this idea stemmed from them totally just what they thought would work, not seeing that it was already starting to, like, make a little headway and steam in the industry. They just had this great idea, and all of a sudden they're like, whoa,
and literally,
other people are into this too.
Exactly. And literally a month after we went live on our website, I out of the blue just called Phil Mendoza because I knew he was starting a competition and then said, hey, we're new. We're right down the road from you in Lakewood, Colorado. Is there any way we can be involved? And he opened his arms, opened his doors, opened everything up to us because he, as you might know, is a Train to Hunt national champion.
Multiple times.
He's he was in the pro leagues shooting archery. He owns No Limits Archery. So he was a big name for us to even have the balls to reach out to. And we showed him our website and our idea. And within 5 minutes, he's like, okay, I know you guys probably can't afford a normal sponsorship, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to make you a permanent partner of our event because I like what you're preaching. And so it all stemmed from, like Rob said, we were out on a scouting trip and we were getting our ass kicked, going up and down some pretty high elevation mountains between 9 to 12,000 feet several times a day. And we're like, you know,
I always joke about that. Like I always, you know, I always make kind of a little self-deprecating humor. I'm like, oh, I want to blame it on the elevation. But elevation is freaking killer. It really, really
it is.
I mean, you jump up an extra 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 feet. And I mean, yeah, you may not be at 10,000 feet. You may be, you know, whatever, 4,000 or 6,000 feet. But it's still brutal.
Well, you're especially when you're coming. People don't realize it until they actually experience it.
Well, and there's I don't know the exact. I don't want to say physics or chemistry.
Well, I can explain that actually. So,
but there's every thousand feet.
There's less air pressure, so the molecule particles of the oxygen are less close together. So you're still inhaling the same amount of the same volume of air, but because the particles are less close together, you're taking in less oxygen.
And that,
so the higher you get up, the less the pressure is, the less molecules you're getting.
And every
so
1,000 feet, it changes, right?
I don't know the exact
ratio.
They
call it an atmosphere, like every 1,000 feet.
Yeah, so. I don't know the exact ratio for every 1,000 feet you gain, what you're getting. But the higher you go up, the less close everything is together, so you get less in
and
when you're taking the same amount of breaths.
Yeah, and you can research it, too. I think it's, and again, I might be wrong, but there's a very gigantically big percentage change in the amount of oxygen between 5 and 10,000 feet.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only like 20% of the oxygen in the air at 10 versus 5 or something like that. Yeah. It's crazy. So
it crushes you if you're not used to it.
Well, and you take, like a flatlander like me that's used to being in most, I think my hikes get up to maybe 1,000 feet at sometimes on a big one.
I went to Minnesota for a soccer tournament, and that was my first time like being down at pretty much sea level from Colorado. And it was like, you could run forever. like 4 hours into this, and you're just like full of energy and no exhaustion whatsoever.
And when I come back from trips like this, like my first workout when I'm back, I feel
you crush it, don't you?
I just
crush it.
I used to
Then I acclimate so quickly. I'm like, nope, sorry.
I used to use that as a tool. I taught snowboarding forever at Loveland Ski Area. That's one of the higher ski areas in Colorado. So our base
in the world,
like,
actually.
At like 10-8. Yeah. And when kids would get too rambunctious, I'd be like, hey, guys, let's run around for a little bit. And I'm up there 7 days a week.
Yeah.
Like, I could go forever. And we run around for 3 minutes, and everyone's exhausted.
Yep. So what we did find, too, Sam, was that when we started getting into this, after we started talking with Phil and getting involved with, you know, trying to make a name for ourselves, we saw Aaron Snyder with Kefaru at the Bear Creek Archery Range. And Orion and Rob, like, oh, my God, it's Aaron Snyder. Like, and I'm like, who's Aaron Snyder? Because I don't know yet, right? And, let's say hi to him. Like, all right, I'll walk up and say hi. So I walked right up there and said, hey, man, we really appreciate, you know, what you do with Kefaru and everything else. And he became a proponent of us at that point in time. And And then not much long after that, we met Brian Call, the Gritty Bowman, and he's a big proponent of this type of fitness and working out for hunting. And then last year we met the Mountain Ops guys, Jordan and Casey and Trevor, and they have been big supporters of ours as well. And in 2 years, man, it's like the message that we're trying to put out there has resonated with some really, really big names, and we're just so fortunate. And we think it's the platform that we present. I mean, we don't charge a lot of money because we believe in getting you ready. And there's people out there to charge $200 a month for a customized fitness plan, but we charge 10 bucks. And we have 20-plus programs that you can choose from that are all a minimum of 1 month long. They all specifically help you achieve certain goals. So we've been really fortunate. And you know what also this has done for us, we didn't know how well it translated into the backcountry. So we had several of our athletes compete and train to hunt last year. And one of our athletes won the national championship as in the women's. We had several athletes podium in the second place of the men's team, and the several athletes podium second place women's team. We had the Colorado champion athlete Luke Boddy as one of our athletes. Gabe Carell won Texas, and he's one of our athletes. So the workouts translate well to that scenario as well. So if you're a listener and you want to get into shape or train to hunt, check us out, because we have the pedigree now to push.
We've all done it.
This works, and I've done it. Corey's done several. Rob podiumed. He was in second place in Colorado two years ago.
That was back when they had the 100-pound meat pack.
Yeah, the 100-pound meat. Oh, my God.
And you want to feel pain.
So the point is,
run a race with 100 pounds on your back.
That was a good gauge of whether or not we were doing the right things. And the folks that are being very successful in those other types of competitions that are using our programming are proving to us that we're speaking the right message. And we're not a CrossFit gym. There's people out there that think that. Our headquarters is in a CrossFit gym, but we're a completely separate entity. The majority of our group workouts and our programs are on the mountain somewhere, out of the gym, and that out of that scenario.
We call it functional fitness. We do a lot of workouts.
Exactly.
Where we started translating more into workouts with a lot of sand, a lot of sandbags, kettlebells, brute balls, different things that we feel simulate more what you would expect in the backcountry. Picking up a backpack or picking up a quarter and putting in your backpack. I mean, those are odd objects that don't move around the same. And sand is one of those great things to work with that.
It's a close simulator to me.
Yeah.
And we're actually really fortunate. Probably our biggest sponsor or proponent of what we do is Brute Force.
Mm-hmm.
And they're literally
down the road,
5 miles from us. And Kefaru is 7 miles from us, and No Limits is 12 miles from us. So we're very fortunate to be very strategically located next to some giants in this industry that could help guide us. And I've been on a couple of podcasts with Phil Mendoza, and I think we're going to do one with Aaron and Frank here before too long and talk about fitness on the Kefaru cast too. But we have never in our wildest dreams thought that this could grow to that in such a quick time.
And I remember when Brian didn't know what a podcast was. When we met Aaron, he's like,
"What's
a podcast?"
I remember when Rob had his first beer too.
Yeah. Well, so you talked Rob, you talked a little bit about it, but say, you know, I'm like, okay, this all sounds super intriguing. Like, I understand the value of it. I'm going to go check out the website. I'm going to sign up. What do the workouts consist of? Like, what can someone expect when they sign up for Fit for the Hunt?
Well, they could expect that whatever level of fitness that they're at, we got programs for you. And there's some great programs to evaluate what your fitness is to kind of give you the right direction of where you should be at, and it kind of gauges what, you know, like, wow, I'm not as fit as I thought I was, or I could probably need to do this. And, you know, even if you're a beginner and you're not really fit, you know, you got to start somewhere.
What we've done is once you establish the level of fitness where you think you are, we've created several programs that combine a lot of different types of workouts.
Mm-hmm.
For example, our sandbag one workout program is 1 day a week of sandbag, heavy centric sandbag lifting and movements. The next day is a heavy pack backpack cardio day with a sandbag in your backpack, so it's a weighted backpack, like up the Green Mountain Grind or the Fire Road or the Tower Trail or something like that.
North and South Table
or the
Mountain
Table Mountain Trails there, here in Denver. And then the next day is a shooting range day where you're just exclusively getting your upper body into shape where you're shooting 100 arrows. The next day may be a rest day where it's just a long hike cardio day with no weight. The next day is back to the sandbag training to get your cardio and your strength up to where it needs to be. And then the next day is another weighted backpack day. So it's a combination of those different types of workouts across a week. And then you repeat it for 4 to 5 weeks. And each week's different. Like the movements are different and the weights are different and the shooting workouts different.
We have different programs.
But so that's what you can expect. And like I said, for $10 a month, you have access to 20 months worth of programming. 21 months actually is what we have right now. If you sign up as a free member, you get 3 free weeks. 1 week is sandbag programs only. 1 week is more in the gym type workout programs, and 1 week is shooting and cardio and backpack cardio programs. So like Rob said, it helps you gauge your current level of fitness so that once you get through that, then you can talk with us about how you did and we'll guide you to the program that maybe works the best for you for that starting point. Or if you have a specific goal, like you want to go chase a sheep, then we have a program that incorporates thousands of high step, heavy weighted step ups and things like that for you. So
and they're great workouts because when he said 3 weeks, it's you have 3 weeks of programming, but you always will be a free member. But one thing is, I would say there are a lot of very minimalist workouts that you could be doing anywhere with very minimal equipment.
That's a huge point.
And not everyone has a gym handy where they live or have all that equipment or wants to pay a gym membership, but this is a great way where you got a cooler, you could jump on your cooler. You got sandbags or you got kettlebell. You don't have to have 1,000 pounds Olympic weights or all these barbells and dumbbells. And you get great workouts pretty quickly. And some of our workouts are short.
That's one thing you were telling me when we were, well, when you guys were shooting before.
That was after you dry fired your bow?
Yes.
Okay.
Explosion.
Jeez. That's one thing you were talking to me about was, like, even on my drive, I've got a Yeti in the back of the pickup. You know, I could have thrown I could throw a sandbag in there. I got my bow with me, all that stuff. I could probably do this whole workout
regimen. From the field.
You show up at Home Depot around. And you can buy a $5 tube of sand designed to weight the back of your truck. So it serves two purposes. Weights the back of your truck. You pull it out. You can do a bunch of movements. You want to make it more durable? Wrap it in duct tape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like Rob said, you can do these anywhere where you're going with this. And you don't even need sandbags. You can just do 20 burpees and then shoot. 20 burpees, then shoot. 20 air squats, 20 push-ups, then shoot. Or run a shuttle run, a 100-yard shuttle run, whatever, then shoot. But the point is to get your heart rate up wherever you are, however you can. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you, for those of you who have not done this, I guarantee you, when you do it the first few times, you are going to suck. Even if it's a 20-yard shot, you are going to suck. I'm telling you. And you just get better at it. You learn how to control your breathing better through repetition. You learn to float your sight and time your release if you can't hold steady better. Some people that shoot are floaters. Some people that shoot are steady holders. Those that are floaters, I think, will do better in this scenario because they're used to moving with their heart rate anyway and learning to time the shot. But either way, you're going to suck. So don't get discouraged. Just take that as, holy shit, this is real world where I am right now. And I think I'm going to be able to kill an elk at 25 yards with a bow. I got another thing coming if I think I can do that. I'm going to do is wound the damn animal and then, A, be upset with myself, be the laughingstock at camp, and, just waste all that time and money on all of these other things that I've been doing to prepare. And the most important part of the entire hunt is executing the kill shot. I don't care what else you do to get there. That's the most important part.
It all comes down to it. That's what turns it into an actual hunt.
It boils down to that.
I mean, when I go do nature photography, it is exactly the same thing up until the point of either clicking the shutter or pulling the trigger. It's exactly the same thing.
So pulling the trigger?
When you click your shutter on the camera, if you screw up, you screw up. Nothing really bad happens because you got thousands of photos. Beautiful thing about digital photography. And you got one arrow. You got one bullet to make it happen.
We might be preaching to the choir to some folks, too. And there's a lot of folks out there now. I mean, the guys at Mountain Ops just built a gym, and they got the Hushin elk-shaped program that they're pushing now. And There's iHuntFit. I mean, I'm throwing a lot of names of people that, quote unquote, would be considered competitors, but we don't look at them as competitors. We don't look at Train to Hunt as a competitor in any way.
It's an industry. It's community.
It's an industry that the paradigm shift needs to continue. And if the pie is as big as a dinner plate, we want that pie to become as big as a tabletop, and we can all share in that pie. You know, the slices of that pie just get bigger at that point. But the point is, it's an industry big enough for a lot of us. I would wager there's a small percentage of people that do these types of workouts right now to prepare for the backcountry, when there should be a gigantic percentage of people doing these workouts, especially if you come from the East Coast or the South or the West Coast, where you don't have elevation and you don't have these Rockies or these mountains to climb. You have to do whatever you can to get yourself prepared for that, without question.
Helps you do what you love and do it longer and keep doing
that. You know, that's a great point.
And
that
it doesn't be a new and just to add on Corey, I mean, you don't have to be a hunter. I know a lot of people that I've talked about this with that I work with, and they, you know, they're like, hey, that looks great, and they don't hunt, but they like to go in the backcountry. They like to hike. You know, just like Corey said, you know, you got to be practiced for when you hit that button on the camera. If you're out of breath or you know, you got to be able to be steady. But it's something that anyone could do. Or we have people that want to increase their poundage. They want to get stronger and be able to shoot a higher pound bow. A lot of women feel that way, that they don't shoot enough. And it's a great way to start getting stronger, so you can increase that and have a more ethical shot with the higher poundages.
You know, and in addition to that, it translates over to other things too. Fishing, you know, hiking, mountain biking, snowboarding.
Literally everything. It makes everything. It more enjoyable it if you're not suffering while you're doing it.
Exactly. So any workout can do that. Ours tend to translate real well to things outdoors. So if you're a fly fisher, fisherman or fisherwoman, and you want to get yourself into shape so you can hold yourself steady in fast water and feel more sure of your footing, check us out, Fit for the Hunt. Maybe we should be called Fit for the Fish at that point. I don't know.
Fit for the Cast.
Fit for the Hike, whatever. Yeah.
Fit for the Cast. Fit for the Hike.
You can just throw Fit for whatever.
Like, Fit for the Bike. It
being
works.
A healthier, stronger person benefits you overall,
yeah,
no matter
does.
What you're doing,
yeah.
Like physically and mentally.
Well, just if nothing else, it helps with your confidence in your daily life.
That is the key right there, period.
It's huge.
That is huge. That to me is just as important as anything else we've been talking about.
If you're fit, you feel good. If you feel good, you're more confident in your day-to-day life. You're more confident in your job. You're more confident when you're just talking with people day-to-day. Whatever it is, I mean, fitness is – it affects everything you do, really.
Well, we've all been throwing if you're not fit, if you're trying to get fit. Like, to clarify that, like, that word in our programming – it's not about looking a certain way.
Yeah.
It's about your performance.
I mean, because look at Brian, honestly.
Yeah. but it's about your performance.
God,
like your
you
performance in
tough.
No matter what you're doing in your life. It's like, do you want to hike further? Like, do you want to be able to lift the cooler into the back of your truck? Are you moving furniture around in your house? The better, the more in shape you are, the better fit you are.
And you won't hurt yourself.
The easier that becomes, and like... Mm-hmm. The higher quality of life, in my opinion, I feel like you have. Just because everything just is more fluid for yourself.
And Corey, to touch a little bit more on what you just said, it's not about how you look, and don't be afraid when we say you need to be extremely physically fit to do this. All right, don't be afraid of that. It's all about getting yourself prepared mentally and physically for what you want to do. And whether you are severely out of shape, severely obese or severely out of shape or even injured to some degree, it's important to get the confidence that you can perform. And so we help with that. We can help you if you are severely out of shape or something else with a health ailment or something like that. We can help you with our programming, get that confidence, and start you down that road to recovery as well. So you don't have to be fit to start our programs. That's what I'm getting at. You can start them
at scratch. That's what it's geared towards, the person that wants to be fit for the hunt.
Exactly.
Awesome. So what are we? What should we be expecting to see coming up from Fit for the Hunt?
Well, I'm glad I asked that question. as I mentioned, we're going to be at Total Archery Challenge at Snowbird, Utah this year, July, I think, 15th, something like that, 14th, that weekend. We'll be at Terry Peak in South Dakota, June 22nd through the 24th with Phil Mendoza and the Alpha Boning Challenge. In both places, what we'll be doing is putting a quick burn workout on, as I mentioned earlier, giving people a chance to get their heart rate up and seeing if they can successfully hit a clay target at 35 to 40 yards for a price. In addition to that, though, what we're doing for our members or for people that want to subscribe, we've created the Fit for the Hunt training camp, and we're releasing it the middle of July, and it'll run through the weekend before the season starts, and it'll be two workouts a week for 4 to 5 weeks straight. And those workouts, this is in Colorado, but we can tailor it to other locations if necessary. But those workouts, four of them will be in the gym. Four of them will be on a venue or a range somewhere in the metro area. And those workouts will be hunting-centric specifically to get you prepared for the start of archery season here in Colorado and or Utah and or Wyoming or New Mexico or somewhere else in the Western Rockies. And we're offering that program for $120. So it's $160 value. It's just typically it's a $20 drop-in fee to work out with our groups if you're not a paying member. Mm-hmm. But that program is $120 for you to subscribe for the month's worth of workouts,
just
eight workouts,
for that, just for that program, rather than a standard.
Exactly, rather than a $10 a month membership or a $100 a year membership, we can or $120 a year membership. With that, we can give you just that workout program, that training program, if you don't want to be a participant the whole year. We also are offering a $4 discount to people to participate in it if they just want to drop into one or two or the three of the workouts as opposed to pay for all eight at the discount, if that makes sense. So as I mentioned earlier, we're gonna be introducing that. I guess this is the second major announcement we're making for the first time.
I guess we better officially make an announcement.
We're officially announcing now here on Living Country in the City, the training camp, the Fit for the Hunt training camp coming up. So in the meantime, though, we will keep announcing group workouts in the metro area. We'll probably have another one starting, I would say, the middle of June. We have so many events to do this year on the weekends in the summer. Our group workouts are suffering as a result of it, actually, to some degree. But that's why we're putting the training camp together towards the end of the summer before the season starts.
Nice.
So, but
and honestly, like when I encountered Fit for the Hunt, I was from the outside. Like I just heard about them from a buddy and met them at a Train to Hunt event. And they're like, oh, yeah, we do these workouts. Like you can drop by us. Like came by, started doing this. And it's honestly, like from the marketing perspective, one of the best tools there is. Come try this. Like, it's going to be fun. Doesn't matter.
Guaranteed.
Your fitness level, it's going to be fun. You're going to have a blast.
Guaranteed.
Laughing and joking with everybody. It's cool doing the workout, combining shooting with it. But, like, the single greatest thing about it is you do a workout and you take that first shot and you're just like, I suck. And immediately you're like, I need to try this more.
Yes.
So you can either make it up by yourself and go try to do stuff in your backyard, some kind of fitness activity you think of, or you can get a free membership and get 3 weeks of programming, get a full-on membership and get a bunch of programming, and really fine-tune where you're lacking, incorporating shooting with it.
You know,
it's like it sells you on it, just like working at Kafaru. I can tell people all day long why our backpacks are greater than everybody else's. Easiest way to sell somebody? Put this on with an 80-pound sandbag in it. Don't tell them it's 80 pounds before they put it on, and they won't believe it's 80 pounds when you put it on.
At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on, and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
So, you know, I mentioned a few times that we were fortunate to have a few good moments in our infancy, you know, with some champions and so forth with Train to Hunt. And they were eye-opening. They kind of were validation for us. But for me, personally, the biggest validation that I have about these workouts working and succeeding was at last year's Newcastle Alpha. Ryan Dumville is one of our athletes. He's a guy that works out with us. His name's Ryan Andrew Dumville. He's a photographer here in Denver.
Great videographer. Definitely check him out.
Videographer.
Yeah, great videos, great photos.
He started coming to our workouts with Bob. What's Bobby's last name?
Bobby Mead.
And both
cool
of those guys,
yeah,
they couldn't run a mile or to save their lives. And they couldn't hit this broadside of a barn to save their lives. And then at last year's Alpha Challenge in Newcastle, they both came in, they both podiumed. And one of the legs that Ryan was doing, one of the workouts he was doing, he was running past me, and he was screaming at the top of his lungs, "Thank God for those Fit for the Hunt workouts!" And, and I was like, "That's awesome, man! I mean, thank you for being a proponent of it." But he was being serious because he was able to run, stop, shoot, gather himself, run again, stop, shoot, gather himself, drag the sled, the weighted sled. If you know the way the outfits, the format of the alpha. But when he said that, it wasn't BS. It was legit, and it was really cool to see that happen. As I was sitting at my booth watching him run by, and he's screaming like, "Okay, I dig that. I dig that. That's cool, man." And then this year, Bobby came in third, but he had the fastest course time on the first leg, though, the first leg of the alpha. So
nice.
He's done a really good job. He's stepped his game up big time. And
it'll definitely open your eyes.
I mean, he's a badass.
Yeah, it'll open your eyes. It'll show you where your weaknesses are and show you how you can improve.
And I promise you it's fun.
Yeah. Like,
oh, wait, yeah,
that's the best thing. Like, it is fun. Regardless, like, if you even want to improve, if you just want to show up and have a fun time, like, it's a fun time hanging out at the gym with all the guys.
So two other announcements, if I may. We just picked up a partnership with a company called Arcanum. They are a recovery cream that utilizes CBD oil. Hemp-made products.
We are in Colorado.
There's 100 different. Well, there's no THC, so they want you to open a drug test. But I can tell you that their freeze product, you put it on a sore joint or a sore muscle, and that stuff works amazing. So they are now part of our program, sponsorship partners, because that's a part of what we do, man. You get beat up when you do this, and it helps your recovery, right?
Or especially some of us that are getting older.
And then also, we are announcing... It's been on our website for a while, but we haven't formally pushed it yet, and it's the affiliate program that we've started. We started it back in March. But check out our affiliate program. If you're interested in starting, I don't want to call it a Fit for the Hunt franchise, but if you're interested in buying some rights and or the ability to utilize our programming in a group setting somewhere outside the city of Denver, Colorado, we have a program put together for you to do that. We trademarked the name, but we will sell you the rights to use that trademark. We will sell you the programs as part of the affiliate fee. We will give you discounts to Brute Force, Mountain Ops, Kefaru, No Limits Archery, entry fees, stuff like that for the Alpha Bow Hunting Challenge. So we give you several thousand dollars worth of benefits if you decide to be an affiliate up front to give you the tools you need to succeed with your own Fit for the Hunt style of workouts or franchise or whatever. So... and we're there for you as the founders to help you figure out what works for you, where you are, what's worked for us. You know, but it's really when you go down the road and you spend money to use our product, you can use it however you want as long as you stay within the ethical boundaries that we've established as a company. So
where can people find Fit for the Hunt online?
We are at several locations. We are on the World Wide Web at fit4thehunt.com. You can follow us on Instagram and or Facebook and or both. And also, we just started a YouTube channel. We would love for you to subscribe to that channel because we are trickling out little workouts here and there weekly just to kind of tease you with. And you can use them and see how they work. And a lot of them incorporate shooting. Those workouts are demonstrated by our founder, Ryan Tolchin. We also announce a lot of our group workouts there, a lot of our other Fit for the Hunt things that are going on those venues as well. So you can look at us on YouTube/Fit for the Hunt and or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. We really would appreciate your support. It would help us tremendously, and you know, we'd really be thankful for the fact that our message got to you.
And so if people wanted to follow each of you guys individually, where can they find you?
I'm Corey Arola, CoryArola everywhere. Real easy.
Yeah, like all the places.
Felt like I should just keep it straightforward. There's so many cool handles out there, but sometimes they get confusing.
I mean, you can't all be living country in the city. It's just saying.
You can only try, right?
Yeah, so I was like, I'm just going to keep it with my name. I mean, I did start with photography. One of my degrees is photojournalism. So I started just in the photography world, and it's like everyone goes by their name. So that's kind of how I rolled into this. I was like, just find me by my name. Like, I'm Corey Arola Photography, Corey Arola everywhere else. So you can definitely track me down on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook there.
On Facebook and on Instagram, just search Brian Horton, and it's pretty intuitive. You'll find me. On Instagram, I'm Brian Horton _ Fit for the Hunt. But on Facebook, I'm just Brian Horton, and it's BrianHorton. Just look for the 46-year-old balding guy. He looks beat up and out of breath in his photos. And
there's
you'll be
a
the
few
right
dogs in there as well.
Right.
Got the puppies hanging out.
And I am on Facebook and Instagram as Rob Brezen, BrezEn.
All right.
And if you ever call Cafaro, you might talk to Corey.
Yeah, you might be lucky enough to talk to Corey. And if you do have a chance to call for Cafaro, please ask for Corey and then think of the dumbest question you can possibly think of in your life.
We like
ever
to call
related
him up all
to packs or pack weights. Ask him what weighs more, a pound of feathers or a pound of lead.
If you just do it in the morning, I will probably be super professional. If you call me in the afternoon, I might have reached my level of doing.
He'll transfer you to Dana and say, Dana, you got someone to question. Question's got a question for you.
You must specifically ask for Corey, like I said.
Oh, man. All right, so I'll make sure to link to all your guys' pages in our show notes, on our show notes page. But as we're closing out here, one thing I always like to finish up with, you know, once again, geared towards new hunters, people from the city, folks that may not just have as much access or history in hunting and the outdoors. Somebody, say like me, came up to you and was like, hey, you know, I really want to get into this. There's just so much to learn, so much to do, you know, and I just want to hunt, though. What advice, you know, what advice or words of wisdom would each of you guys give?
Go. Like, for me, I mean, it's what I do for a living. I get asked questions about this all the time. Like, the simple answer is just go. Stop worrying about labels. Like, I don't need this equipment to go. Like, figure out what is going to just get you out there. It doesn't have to be the best. It doesn't have to be good in any way. But gain experience. Just get out there. Like, I started hunting with clothes from the thrift store, stuff that didn't fit. Like, you're just out there figuring it out. And all of a sudden, your knowledge base grows. And for two things, like, your future choices become better when you're buying equipment.
Yes.
And
a lot of upgrades.
And you realize there's a lot of stuff out there that you don't need.
Right.
So, like, just get out as much as you can. Don't worry about having the right stuff or even having the stuff at all. Like, make sure you have the bare minimum to survive and get out there and have fun.
I would say it's a very welcoming community, and you'll find more people are just always open arms, willing to help you out or answer questions and, you know, start going to the ranges or going to the pro shops. And, you know, if you don't have a bow yet or something, you could just, you know, go a couple times, talk to them. They'll let you try them out, you know, answer any questions you have.
Just don't dry fire one.
Yeah, just don't dry fire them. And then go to the ranges and ask questions. If you see someone who looks like they know what they're doing, ask questions. And everyone's always willing to help or give you some tips. And just get out there and try it. And, you know, you always got to start somewhere. And I moved out here, and I didn't know how to backcountry hunt. And I did it by myself. And I was pretty unprepared and learned that quickly and made a lot of differences, upgrades. And
I mean, you learn by doing as well.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
You know, one other thing that I would like to maybe just point out here is don't get caught up in the finger-pointing and or the industry gossip that comes with hunting podcasts and comes with, you know, this hunting industry. I mean, you have it everywhere just like you do in the movie world and the rock star world or whatever. There are a lot of people out there that are really good at what they do and what they know. And they may not have high opinions of each other, or they may. But my point is, ask questions and learn, but pass judgment after you've experienced it for yourself. And you'll eventually find something that works for you. But make that judgment on your own. Don't listen or think that you're going to follow someone on Instagram that does nothing but bash people or trolls people that are in the hunting industry or whatever for trying to better themselves. Just do what you can to make your own judgments.
And one more thing.
Only after you have the experience of doing it.
One more thing, don't get discouraged. It takes time.
That's huge.
It's a big learning
curve. That's huge.
You know, it might take years before you harvest an animal, but
in
you
Colorado,
just got to keep with it.
Kill ratio.
You know,
one out of every 10 hunters.
You got to look at the experiences that you have and what you take from that. And you might be excited that you finally got to stalk an animal and get close, and that shot never came up, but you can't get discouraged, and it's not going to just be easy. And you got to just keep at it. And
we hunt with a few people that get easily discouraged.
Yeah,
and you think that they should have seen animals the day they walked into the woods the first hour.
It's a hard thing to do, but it's a lot of fun.
It takes patience,
great.
But yeah.
Well, guys, thank you so much for hopping on the podcast.
Thank you,
Samuel.
Sit down.
It's been great, man.
Have a few beers and do this.
Appreciate it. We're slapping hands and pumping fists. Yeah, just so you, just
I'm
so
excited
you know.
I got like, to see a bow explode, honestly.
Cool guys high-fiving, and yeah.
That was the coolest part of my day. What was that, a carbon defined?
I got to take pictures of it.
Hey, you know what?
The bow did not break. The string did.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that's a good advertisement. That's a good advertisement.
Thank you, Hoyt.
Hoyt, there's four of us here, and we'd all like bows.
I shoot a prime, Hoyt.
We promise we won't dry fire them.
Convince me not to.
On that note, let's shut it down.
Thank you very much, man. We really appreciate it.
All right, y'all, that'll do it for episode 73 of Living Country in the City. Make sure y'all head on over to our show notes page at livingcountryinthecity.com/73 to check out everything we talked about in today's episode. But in the meantime, keep it country, y'all.
Thank y'all for listening to Living Country in the City. Get show notes and check out the blog, product reviews, events, and more at livingcountryinthecity.com.
Brave anglers search for the one they call king, but who will take his throne? Tune in to Waypoint TV's Battle for Silver, Saturday, May 18th from 12 to 6 p.m. Eastern, presented by Abyss Battery. Waypoint TV. Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Every Monday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.